Hello and welcome. I'm Claire Connor, Student Recruitment Officer at the Technological University of the Shannon at Athlone, and you're listening to the TUS Athlone 360 podcast. Every week, I'll be delving into different aspects of university life at TUS Athlone, giving you a 360 view of the transition to third level. From the admissions process, academic writing, student supports, clubs and socks, sports, and so much more. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of our podcast series. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Trasa Fox, who is Head of Counselling here at TUS. How are you today, Trasa?
I'm great, Claire, and yourself?
Not too bad now. So, Trasa, obviously, we're here to talk about student counselling and what type of services we provide. So I think it's important, firstly, to start off with that question. So what type of services do the student counselling provide for students?
That's a very big question, but that's why I cover
a nice broad one.
Yeah, so obviously we provide one-to-one counselling to all registered students of TUS, and we provide outreach services, we provide workshops, webinars, seminars, and small groups, as well as meditation groups a couple of times a week. But the primary work is one-to-one counselling with students.
Brilliant. And obviously, Trasa, students who are coming in September will obviously have the chance to utilise our lovely new health centre, which is right beside us here in marketing as well. So do you want to talk to me about the advantage of having such a nice space for the students as well?
Oh, we're delighted, Claire. We absolutely love our new premises in the Health and Counselling Centre right next door to yourselves. We have a beautiful suite of offices. We have five offices that are on the go pretty much all the time,
and
we offer services up till 9 o'clock, two evenings
a
week.
Brilliant.
You know, that we understand that students sometimes have very busy timetables
100%.
And very difficult maybe to find an hour there to attend counselling. So we run evening sessions as well.
Amazing.
So we have about 10 counsellors who work in the offices, and we are in and out of those offices. You know, there could be a switch over at 5 o'clock in the
evening.
Like
a rotation type of thing.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly. So out of that, there are five core counsellors who are with us on a full-time or almost full-time basis. And then we have what we call sessional counsellors, and they're people who come in and provide maybe 6 hours a week or 10 hours a week, and we scale it up and down according to the needs. It gets very busy at times, but TUS really does support, I suppose, student mental health. Like, we could see that with the beautiful new suite of offices, but also the resources quite well. So we end up not having a long wait time to access a first appointment. Generally, students would either phone or ring in or email in for an appointment. The email counsellor@ait.ie, and generally within a couple of days they'll be offered their first appointment with a counsellor in order to identify what their needs are. Exactly.
That's amazing.
And then generally within 2 weeks we'd be able to offer them ongoing counselling then, and they self-select that with a particular counsellor.
Brilliant.
We have a self-select option on
that's
our
lovely
website.
That's so nice, and I think it's great as well that you mentioned that not only do they have the option obviously to the two late evenings a week, because we know that students, for example, might have a hectic schedule, but it's great. You also offer a walk-in service as well, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Absolutely. I think in response to, I suppose, we understood that sometimes it can be a tough decision, you know, and that sometimes our students are weeks or months thinking about making contact with the counselling service. And we wanted to make it open, I suppose, on the day that a student says, right, today is the day I feel I need to make contact with counselling. I've been dealing with this issue for weeks or for months. So we have a walk-in service between 2 and 3 every day.
Excellent.
And we ask students just to check in with our administrator who's on the corridor here. And they will meet a counsellor for a quick, I suppose, introduction and that first early step.
Exactly. That first encounter and that first point of contact and that first chat that can make such
make
a massive difference.
And the other thing, Claire, it allows, I suppose, it gives the students ownership and empowerment. You know, come in and check us out, see what you think of us, our counselling service in that one meeting, and decide if that's for you. And you'll be able to discuss maybe any of fears, anxieties with the counsellor there and then. So that's an important one. And we also hold emergency appointments every day for a student who might identify themselves that they need to see somebody urgently, or for a staff member who may be concerned about a student, that they can access that emergency appointment for the student, or indeed from our student health colleagues who need to get a student seen fairly quickly.
Brilliant. I think something you mentioned there as well, Trasa, when it comes to the walk-in services, it's that confidence that they can walk in, they can kind of take that
burst in their belly and go in
yeah.
when the time is right. And then that point of contact, knowing that someone is there to listen. I think sometimes you can kind of get, you can get anxious about making that step, but knowing that there's so many people who are there, not only like on a personal level, but they think they can talk to and feel confident talking to. And then it just grows from there, I think.
It really does. Mm. It really does. I think if I was to think of what, you know, well, there's several keywords we could use. It's a confidential service. Mm-hmm. It's a free service. The students yes. have already paid in advance, if mm-hmm. you like, for the counselling through yeah. the student contribution fee. The other thing, though, is that we try to make it the most empowered experience that mm-hmm. it can be, because that's really, really important, that student stays very confident that they're in the driving seat mm-hmm. and that they decide when to make that contact, and they decide maybe on that day for the walk-in or when they send that email. And the other empowerment piece is we use a scheduling system that allows okay. a student, after they've had their initial assessment, mm-hmm. initial contact with a counsellor, they're sent this microsite, and they get to choose on the microsite the appointment time that they want.
Brilliant.
One that works for them. There's photographs of all the counsellors mm-hmm. and you might decide you like the yeah. look of one counsellor more than another.
Yeah.
But again, we try to empower yeah. the students.
That, and give them that.
Within their, yes,
of course.
Within their choice about who mm-hmm. they meet, what time they meet the counsellor at. And indeed, we're carrying on with our secure telehealth video
Lovely.
Appointments. So
Lovely.
It suits some students. Yeah. Some students hated the online yeah. experience. Mm-hmm. We know that.
Yeah.
But it worked well for some students.
Yeah.
And then we found that, you know, during the storm, alerts mm-hmm. that some students weren't supposed to travel outside
yes,
their, county.
Their counties.
So it meant that we were able to switch really quickly to on the day to offer mm-hmm. the online appointment for them.
Excellent. I think something you mentioned there as well, the fact that there's the image of the different counsellors, because when you go in maybe for that initial walk-in and you might come out feeling so empowered and you might forget maybe what their name was, but you'll recognise their face. So at least when you go in, as you said, and make that appointment, you can be like, oh, that was him or that was her, do you know? And yeah. you're like, I trust them now. I feel confident to speak to them. It makes such a difference. Those small things make a massive impact, I think, on a student, obviously having the confidence to go and chat to you afterwards, that initial one.
I think we do a good job at listening to students. Mm-hmm. We have a very close relationship with the students' union, and we have a
Brilliant.
Student advisory group, and that they feedback to mm-hmm. us about things that they feel would make it easier for students mm-hmm. to access our services. And we're constantly listening, and we're constantly trying to improve mm-hmm. how we deliver things, how we connect with students, how we engage with students. Like currently at the moment, when we have one of our counsellors heads up our social media
okay, brilliant.
Campaigns, and we have regular social media mm-hmm. postings, and it's psychoeducation, it's education about all things well-being,
yeah.
all things mental health related. Mm-hmm. We've quite a good engagement on that. So that's another
Brilliant.
Big part of what we do in terms of you know,
interaction with
yeah,
students,
exactly,
100%.
Meeting students where they're at, and,
yeah.
and trying to give them the sort of supports and a range of supports. It's not just one-to-one counselling.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, you can engage with the social media, mm-hmm. you can engage with the workshops.
Yeah.
We put the workshops then up on Moodle as well, so students
Brilliant.
Can access them
in their own time as well.
Exactly.
Brilliant. And I know something that you do as well is meditation. I know that's become a massive thing, I think. I think maybe since COVID, potentially, I think people kind of found a new love for meditation, and I know that a lot of my friends are mad into it now at the moment as well, and you offer that, which is a great option. It's a workshop, as you just mentioned, for students as well and yeah. for staff.
And for staff.
Yeah.
It's open to anybody. Mm-hmm. Olivia, one of our counsellors, offers it twice a week. And we're conscious, again, this is the listening, I suppose, mm-hmm. that we do. We're conscious that students are very busy. That
yeah.
you know, they really
yes.
have a lot on their plates. They've, mm-hmm. you know, the timetables are very full. So Olivia has adapted the meditation to be 15 minutes.
Brilliant.
So it's on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and an email goes out to students to remind them, because we get better engagement
yeah.
when we do the email.
Of course, yeah, because it might slip your mind
exactly.
or whatever, whereas when it goes in your inbox, you're like, actually, I'm free for that 15 minutes. Love that this morning and set my week off right, or whatever it might
exactly.
be.
Exactly. And then during exam times, what she does is she offers 15-minute meditations at about the 8:30.
Lovely.
The
just
morning,
before.
Just before the
lovely,
exam starts.
Yeah.
So that people can get, you know, get themselves
yes.
very centred
yes.
and very ready to
and
sit
focused,
into those.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Rather than, I know that before an exam, I plenty of times did it myself, where you're kind of flapping, looking through notes
yeah, exactly.
because you're like, oh God, what if that question doesn't come up? Whereas if you go to something like that, it really just brings you back. You know what you know, and it's a important to just be confident in yourself, and something like that can really bring that out.
Well, again, what we're bringing from the pandemic, you know, apart from all the ugly bits that we want to leave behind, it's all delivered over Zoom. Mm-hmm. And again, I think what we learned is, you know, that there's an empowerment in offering things over Zoom, that a student can join, can leave camera off, can mute themselves, and they don't have to be identified.
Yeah, exactly.
So it allows them to attend anonymously if that's their preference.
Of course. And obviously, Tressa, just to kind of touch base on, I'm sure that this question is very broad, but what sort of problems would a student go to yourselves with? I'm sure there's a various amount. I'm sure we'd take from 15 episodes to get through. But what kind of maybe are the traditional issues that students might go to you with?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the first thing we say, and the message we want to get out to students, is we will respond to absolutely everything that you bring to us. There's nothing that we will say we can't deal with that, or we're not dealing with that. So we never turn a student away is the first thing. But I suppose the most common, the most frequent presentations would be anxiety, particularly social anxiety would be very, very common.
Okay.
One that students would come in with. And sometimes it's something that they've been struggling with for maybe a number of years.
Since their teenage years or something like that.
Teenage years. Mm-hmm. And generally when we start working with them, we can track back to particular experiences and start. I think the biggest thing is that we can start making sense with the student together, collaboratively,
of course,
about why this might have happened, and that it initially started as a protective mechanism, but actually it really isn't serving the person very well. And you know, we have really good outcomes in terms of how quickly our student can get through those, maybe possibly a long time, long-term anxiety difficulty. Low mood and depression would be the second most common thing that we deal with. There's a particular type of thing I think that we're seeing coming out of the pandemic, which is, I suppose, we're terming it languishing.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be clinical level of depression or clinical level of anxiety, but it'd be a low level of maybe both of those.
Okay.
Also motivation. We find motivation has been a challenge for a lot of students, just that whole having to be online.
Yeah.
For students, either our current students or students, you know, in leaving cert or fifth year, having that whole school experience disrupted has impacted some people really significantly.
Yeah, of course.
And that feeling motivated and wanting to get engaged seems to be a bit missing. Mm-hmm. Isolation and loneliness is another common one that we're encountering, because young people... your age, Claire, and younger, hardwired to be around each other.
Yes.
And I think there's been a significant impact then by not being able to be around each other in terms of, you know, remembering those skills of interacting and making friends and connecting with people. I think some people really found it difficult to come back out of that isolated period and remember how they were as social beings.
100%.
So we're seeing that. But look, it's a range of things. It can be a relationship breakup. Mm. It can be loss through death. It could be difficulties around sleeping, difficulties around eating. Pretty much
everything. It's great though, I think, Tressa, that you named all of those things, because some of those we might think are just kind of, you brush them aside, but like, it's okay to need to talk to somebody. Like, eating disorders, I think, is so common nowadays. I think specifically girls, I think, maybe, and boys, but I know that a lot of my friends coming out of secondary school and things like that definitely felt like it was just the norm and maybe didn't want to deal with it. But knowing that you can go and talk to somebody, that it's completely normal, like, it's not,
absolutely. And you know, I think the first thing students should know is that, you know, let's just say there is an eating disorder or some sort of disordered, it might be a formal diagnosis, but it could be a disordered relationship with food.
100%. Like, your body image and thinking, do you know, I think, that's so true.
I think there's a fear sometimes that, you know, if somebody comes forward for counselling in relation to that, the thing the counsellor is going to tell them to do is, okay, start eating properly, start eating healthily. That's not what we do. And we totally understand that it's a very, very complex thing. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to insist that somebody starts behaving in a particular way because they need to be resourced. Students, you know, young people who are encountering the body image difficulties or eating difficulties, they need to develop other resources first 100%. Before they can start looking at changing those behaviours, and we'll take it at their pace.
Yeah.
We don't insist that it goes at a certain pace in a certain direction. We take it at the student's pace. But we've a really exciting project. Again, we're constantly trying to meet the evolving needs.
Brilliant.
So we've a really exciting project coming up next year where some of our counsellors will be delivering a group, and it's called The Body Project.
Okay.
And it comes from the US, and it was tried and tested there over many, many years. And there's a lot of evidence base behind it. So it was designed specifically for a university population.
Brilliant.
And it's about working with small groups of people who have those body image concerns, and it doesn't even have to be an eating disorder, but who struggle with body
with
image,
their image
issues.
Of course.
So those groups we're running frequently over the academic year next year. So
that
we're really excited.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. Specifically as well for someone coming into TUS maybe in September and has, as you said, spent the last 2 years maybe in their house and in Zoom and things like that. And like, this might be a perfect workshop for them for working on that and gaining confidence and getting involved in something in the college as well.
Exactly.
I think it's so important
exactly.
and getting to know people outside of your class group and getting to know somebody who maybe feels the same way as you is always so nice.
That's the key thing, Claire. I think it's really important and it's really healing to meet with other people who 100%. Understand your way of thinking and understand what you're going through and understand all of the fears and anxieties about stepping away from the dieting, stepping away from watching the scales all the time or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really, I mean, we know that peer-to-peer is really,
amazing.
Really powerful.
Mm-hmm. That project honestly sounds amazing. I'm so excited to see how you go with it. But Trasa, I just want to thank you so much for joining me today. I think it was such an insightful idea for not only students coming in, but even current students who might be listening to this. There's always there. And I know that your services in the counselling are just amazing. It's something that us in TUS are so proud of. And you're absolutely incredible. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks very much, Claire. Thanks for having me.
So that was TUS at Loan 360. Giving you a 360 look at student life at the Technological University of the Shannon, right here in Athlone. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another episode on making the transition to third level.